comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Nerds United on the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. My name is Greg Mahochko, and not in Studio B, but in his own home, the co-host of the year, Mike Luther.
Mike. Man, it is weird doing a podcast like this.
Yeah, I feel like my right arm isn't here.
Right.
You know, like an extension of me. Really, the best part of the show is miles and miles away, like easily 3-4 miles.
About, yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. But we're social distancing ourselves.
Well, let's talk about that, because the last time we recorded was Wednesday, a week ago, and that was before everything went to hell. I mean, when you sat here that Wednesday afternoon in my home, my wife and son were at Grandpa and Granny's house, which is hilarious. That was the last night that we had sports, because I remember after you left, I was sitting here watching the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, not championship, unfortunately, but it was like the first day of a 5-day tournament, and that was the last sports that we had, because that night a Utah Jazz player had a confirmed, you know, coronavirus. Positive ID, whatever the proper terminology is. And so they suspended the NBA league or season. They suspended the NHL. They canceled the rest of the Big Ten tournament and every other men's basketball conference tournament. They canceled March Madness. They postponed Major League Baseball, everything. And since then, schools have closed as of, you know, Saturday night here. You know, most retail shops are no. Basically, if you live in Illinois like we do, anything that's non-essential is not open for business. Unfortunately, they deem my work essential, and I have a paperwork that proves it. So,
yeah, I'm lucky enough where I still have my job, but I can work from home. In fact, it's mandatory that we work right from home now.
And that's the thing. It's a weird thing because, you know, I don't know how to classify it. I mean, you say you still have your job, but this wouldn't really, and this wouldn't be like, all right, everybody's getting laid off. It's just like, all right, well, you got to stay home, you know, even if you couldn't necessarily work from home. And obviously the schools that, you know, you go into and you teach, they're all shut down as well. My son's preschool, you know, even though you're not at preschool, but my son's preschool also shut down. But it's just, it's weird. Like, we've never seen anything like this. And it shows because the world doesn't know how to handle it.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I have heard of some people. I don't know if they got laid off, but they're not working and they're not getting paid.
Yeah.
Right now.
Which, for them or anybody, grocery stores, Walmarts, you know, Targets, things like that are hiring, because it is madness at any of those places. I keep hearing horror stories. I don't go to Sam's Club, but I keep hearing horror stories that, like, the line to get into the parking lot of Sam's Club is like a mile deep in cars. I've heard similar things about Costco's. It's nuts, man. I there was a run on toilet paper for a respiratory virus, not, you know, one that causes the drizzling shits, as Stone Cold Steve Austin would say. I don't know, man. I was hoping, I'm not going to lie, because I hate my job that much, I was hoping to be able to stay home.
Right. But, yeah, I don't blame you.
But, you know, like our good friends over at Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois. That's weird, too, because now we're not in the same room.
It's hard to time it when I'm not looking at you.
But I stopped by there Friday night just to get some comics, give them a little bit of business before they, you know, had their essential mandatory shutdown. Close their doors for, you know, the foreseeable future. Hopefully, within a couple of weeks, we can hashtag flatten the curve, and you know, things might start to return to normal. But there is, I'm not going to call it a silver lining, but there are some situations that are beneficial to people like me. So we'll get to that as we go. But Mike, are you ready to get into the show?
Let's do it.
So as we do, as you do here on Nerds United, we're going to take a page or two from the terrific book, The League of Regrettable Superheroes by John Morris. And Mike, I've got the book because it's in my house and you don't have said book. What I should have done is say, hey, here's the page I went to, pull it up, but this just seems easier. So I went to page 28, which is okay. Immaterial, does not matter. And the superhero that I landed on was Fantoma. Or Fantoma.
Ooh, tell me about Fantoma.
So Fantoma, I'm guessing it's Fantoma. F-A-N-T-O-M-A-H. But is a female superhero that predates Wonder Woman by more than a year.
Okay.
And could be considered the first female superhero in comic books. But Fantoma, Mystery Woman of the Jungle. It says here in this fantastic write-up by John Morris that Fantoma appears to share much in common with other animal-protecting, resource-preserving, leopard-skin-clad jungle queens who follow in the footsteps of Sheena, Queen of the Jungle. Statuesque, white skin, blonde hair, blue eye. It says that, by the way, created by Fletcher Hanks, but Fletcher Hanks used a pen name, and that was Barclay Flagg. Debuted in Jungle Comics number 2. It says here, among other things, that I'm trying to figure. She has a physical transformation when she's doing her hero work, and the blonde hair, you know, and fair skin, at least in the face, disappears to become a fiery skull, flaming skull. Think of like a Ghost Rider of the Jungle, which I thought was funny. She's in the comic books more than a year before Wonder Woman, and we have a hero with a flaming skull. I didn't do the math. I looked it up, and it's more than 31 years before Johnny Blaze, a.k.a. Ghost Rider, who didn't appear until August of 1971, and she appeared in like I mentioned, February 1940. Just a blazing skull. It's you know, just one of those, almost like maybe a female version of Tarzan, but with, you know, supernatural powers that allow her to, you know, protect the jungle and the creatures found therein.
I like it.
So
does the jungle need protecting though? I mean, it's got like cougars and, you know, lions. I don't know who actually lions are not the jungle, I guess. Whatever, tigers.
So it does show in Jungle Comics there's an insert on page 29. I'm actually glad you asked this, because apparently for decades in comic books the problem has been white man.
Because, well, yes.
I mean, if you think about it, this is not a secret, but because of the lack of diversity for so long, both the problems and the solutions were often white men. It says, I'm just going to read. This is from, I believe it is Jungle Comics number 2. It's Fantoma's debut. It says, Fantoma, the most remarkable woman ever known, has such keen insight that she can see all that happens in the jungle. She devotes her great abilities to protecting the jungle born. She sees a strange white man heading for a secret spot far in the heart of the jungle. She reads his thoughts and finds that he is in a quest of the boiling mud pit. He has learned that a small temple stands in the middle of the boiling mud pit. This temple is very sacred to the natives because it contains a royal headpiece of a very famous chief who once ruled all the jungle tribes. ... So.
Sounds fascinating.
I mean, you know. Look, according to some of this artwork, at one point she just becomes a blazing skull, like nobody, just the flying blazing skull, which, if you think about it, kind of terrifying.
That's way more badass.
Yeah. So, obviously, fair skin, blonde hair, blue eyes. Let's cast Fantoma, shall we?
Okay. I'm going to go... She might have to dye her hair, but Natalie Portman.
Reese Witherspoon.
Okay, I like it.
And that's,
combine both of them.
And the only reason I said it is because that's the first blonde actress I thought of.
Yeah, okay. I like Reese Witherspoon. Okay. Reese will do it half the movie, and then Natalie Portman will do the other half.
And we'll see which half is better. That reminds me of a bad joke. It's a... I can't even remember, but it's such a bad pun that if I say it, if I remember it, you'll groan audibly. Something about like, hey, did you hear about the famous actress who stabbed, her husband or whatever? He's like, oh, what was she in? Legally Blonde or something like that, or Sweet Home Alabama. And someone says, Reese Witherspoon? And someone says, no, with her knife.
Yeah, I was expecting that.
Yeah, you're welcome. All right, so news and happenings in the world of nerddom, buddy.
Everything's getting pushed back.
Yeah, no shit, right? I mean, and that which wasn't pushed back should have or could have been, and we're talking about Bloodshot. It opened up last weekend. It's not its fault, really. It's just that nobody went to the movies because nobody left, you know?
Right.
Even with the coronavirus, Bloodshot was projected to open with around $10 million domestic and landed $9.3 million. I wanted to see it. I had my own reasons as to why I was unable to see it, and it was not coronavirus related. It was... You know, my wife was working all weekend, and I've been told, as well as, you know, the obvious of reading the comics and watching the trailer, Bloodshot, not one to take the four-year-old to. So,
yeah, definitely not.
But, that doesn't lessen my excitement for it. It's just the fact that, you know, the weekend the Bloodshot came out, unfortunately, was the lowest box office weekend, period, in 21 years. I mean, you've got to go all the way back to 1999 if I'm doing my math correctly. And that's just, I mean, that's just some bad luck because you don't have the weight of, you know, like a Marvel or DC behind you when you're Bloodshot. You're the first movie out of the gates for, you know, the Valiant brand. And I mean, that first trailer was what got me interested in the Bloodshot comic anyway. And I really do enjoy the comics. And it's really just highly unfortunate that the timing of it was such that it was right as everything was dropping.
Yeah. Very bad, unfortunate time. From what I've heard, they might be putting it on demand here pretty soon, actually, or faster than they normally would.
It's actually going to be available this upcoming Tuesday.
Okay.
So, I can. Oh, actually, I'm just getting new information. Not 21 year low, 22 year low. So, yeah. So, but yeah, the fact that, you know, it was. Look, it was also coming out the same weekend as the Disney Pixar movie Onward.
True.
Which, you know, let's face it, as far as Disney Pixar, I mean, the weekend itself only drew about $55 million at the box office, which is Onward by itself should have been $55 million plus. I mean, it should have. You know, the trailer looks fun and kind of, you know, road trippy and something different. I mean, I think Pixar a lot of times, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you know, when it's not a sequel, when it's not a Cars 2 or a Toy Story 2 or another Pixar sequel, not sure.
Yeah.
You're not entirely sure what to get, but you know, this was a little bit of a fantasy realm. You know, they're like monsters and, you know, whatever. But, you know, a little bit of a comedy, a little action-adventure comedy. And it's got some familiar voices from the Marvel Universe in Tom Holland and Chris Pratt and other voices. I mean, they didn't do all the voices. They just did the two main characters. So, you know, it has that going for it. It's just, again, timing, which is why, I mean, you know, this coronavirus is affecting a lot of things. I mean, we talked about the sports, the projects that are being pushed back. So let's talk about another. By the way, when Bloodshot is available, I'm going to be, you know, if it's available to rent or if you can buy it, you know, immediately or however that works, I'm going to be watching it. I'm still excited for that movie. My interest has not waned whatsoever.
Good idea.
Okay. I'll share it with you. Or you can come over and watch it whenever, you know, the quarantine is lifted and we're allowed to be out among people.
Right.
Cool. But the rumor happened late this week that Wonder Woman 84 might go the digital, like the VOD direct. And I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing. First of all, I was way off on when I thought the movie was supposed to be coming to theaters. I thought it would be the second half of the year, but apparently it's early June. Do you think that maybe DC, you know, Warner DC should not necessarily pull the trigger on pulling that movie from theaters just yet? I mean, doesn't that seem a little premature?
I'm pretty sure that's already been debunked. Like, I forgot where I wrote. I read somewhere that it was going to be streaming only. There won't be in theaters. And then I read several other reputable places saying that it was going to be in theaters. It's not going to go straight to streaming. And there's because they're not going to make their money off of it. Then there's no way that they go streaming.
Because what you do when you go streaming, you lose the opportunity for repeat business, you know? I mean, unless they gave it like a 24 or 48 hour, but I don't think, you know, in this, I don't say quote this day and age, I don't think you can have something like that, pull it and then make somebody buy it for home use, you know, more often, especially at a $20 price point. I'm not 100% sure on that. I just have that feeling. So I'm inclined to agree with you. And plus, like you said, it's a billion-dollar movie waiting to happen, I believe, you know? And hopefully by June, or, you know, obviously hopefully sooner, but definitely by June, we as a society are starting to get back to some semblance of normal, and, you know, hopefully the curve's flattened out. And at that point, maybe we can, you know, pack the theaters and go see, you know, Wonder Woman and any other movie that is out there, because, you know, without getting too far into the weeds, but the economy's going to need our help, you know. Especially for those people who, you know, knock on wood, aren't, you know, in economic crisis themselves, you know, as a home or family or things like that. But, you know, you got to spend money to make money, by God. I don't know. That's your something.
Yeah, and I think by June, I think hopefully everything will be kind of back to normal. People will be, you know, have money in their bank accounts and stuff. And that's when people are going to be wanting to go out into the movies and socialize and bars and restaurants and all kinds of stuff after being cooped up in their house for so long.
Does it make you feel better if I tell you I'm drinking a beer right now and that I'm on my own personal bar?
Well, that's very nice. I am drinking orange juice right now.
Well, that's because you have some type of condition. We'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, I don't know what I have.
We'll let the listeners wonder. We know it's not the thing that's going around.
I'm pretty sure it's not COVID-19.
Right. So I'm drinking, and this was, by the way, this was going to be what you were drinking if you were here, hopefully.
What is it?
It is from Kona Brewing Company. It's their Big Wave Golden Ale.
Okay. How is it?
It's quite tasty. It is their sun-drenched Big Wave Golden Ale, a smooth brew inspired by what makes Hawaii great. Catch a wave.
Speaking of beer, I'm sure you saw at because you shared it on Facebook.
Darn right I did. I know where you're going.
Our friends over at 4204 Main Street are now doing beer delivery.
I need to call them up, place an order.
Yeah.
And while I'm at it, get some steaks or something.
That's what I was thinking too.
So Wonder Woman 84 still, you know, I don't think I've watched the latest trailer, but I don't think they've put anything out. It's kind of, I guess maybe poor timing to put anything out here in the last couple of weeks. You know, it's like, hey, we don't, let's not get your hopes up. We don't know where we're going to be in 2 months type of thing. We do know that when productions start up again, you know, whenever they are, that The Mandalorian is going to have a new addition to their season 2 cast, as Rosario Dawson was cast to play a female Jedi from a particular animated series that is wildly popular with Star Wars fans. Ahsoka Tano.
Indeed.
What's your thought on that?
I love her as an actress. I think she's going to do amazing. I loved The Mandalorian, so I'm excited that there's going to be a season 2, so I can finally have something to watch on Disney Plus. Because right now.
You mean you're not watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse?
I unfortunately am not. Maybe I should get into it.
You should. The best part of Mickey Mouse Clubhouse is I know all the answers.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Feels pretty smart then.
It does make me feel smart. Smarter than my average 4-year-old. I don't. He's probably not. He's probably slightly above average. Anyway,
probably.
But I have seen. Now, look, I'm on board with all the decisions that, you know, The Mandalorian makes because of, you know, I have had such a positive reaction to the first season. And like you said, I love Rosario Dawson as an actress. I think, you know, she's ran the gamut. You know, she kicked some ass but with heart and some sass as, I guess, you know, I can't remember the name, but, you know, the night nurse, whatever you want, on the Netflix Marvel shows. You know, she's been great in, I can't think of anything that she's done that I've been like, oh, that, you know, that was the craps. But I did see, you know, how I like to browse the comment section just to see what people are thinking. And I did see one comment that stuck out to me in a thought-provoking way. And now, it wasn't bashing Rosario Dawson, wasn't bashing the Ahsoka.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to think about that. Ahsoka character. But it was saying they wish, you know, that maybe Rosario Dawson be brought in as someone else and that Ahsoka not necessarily join the character list for The Mandalorian because of the connection to the Skywalker. Basically, they were saying that what they liked, one of the things they liked the most about The Mandalorian is that it didn't really have any connection to the Skywalker saga, which, of course, Ahsoka Tano, very rich in that. History, do you have an opinion on that particular comment? I mean, do you see where they're coming from, or do you think that they should just shut up and be happy that they're getting a great character on a great show?
I mean, I know it wasn't Baby Yoda, but it was a Yoda-like character,
mm-hmm.
and that has a connection to the Skywalker saga.
Sure.
So they're wrong in that sense to say that the Mandalorian didn't have any connection to the Skywalker saga. Yes, it did.
Because there was that familiarity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't really say anything besides that. They didn't say anything bad. I guess they just don't want that character on there. Is that what they were saying?
Yeah, they thought that the show was strong enough that it didn't need to pull in anyone that had, like, this is me, you know, kind of paraphrasing, but any of that Skywalker stain on him, you know?
Right, and also we don't know if she's going to be a main character, if she's going to be maybe just in one or two episodes.
Sure, and that was kind of the fun of that. While The Mandalorian had an overarching, you know, storyline, it was very much kind of a monster of the week type of feel to it. You know, I mean, it was got to protect the kid, but you also have, you know, a different enemy every week. So, you know, like you said, maybe Rosario Dawson's character is only going to be there, you know, once or twice, maybe once, maybe cameo. I mean, we don't know. And that's going to be the fun of finding out.
No, also, one thing we don't know, because I think last season, or the only season they've had, they had different directors every time, right?
Correct.
I wonder if they're doing that again this time.
Are you thinking what I'm thinking?
That we should direct an episode? Yes.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Kevin Smith. But
well, no, that'd be awesome.
No, I'm pretty sure that that's going to be the case as well. That's kind of what I've learned. What I've learned as I've grown older and actually, you know, watching the credits and figuring out who people are, is that it's like, oh, yeah, it's a lot of these episodes. Like, you forget that, you know, like I rewatched The Office, you know, here not too long ago, and a lot of those episodes are directed by, if not cast members, you know, they're bringing in, you know, some celebrities to, you know, some more famous like film directors to direct some of those episodes. So that's kind of fun too, you know.
I'm impressed that you watched The Office.
Really?
Yeah. As well, I mean, we went over this. You've never seen It's Always Sunny, and you've never seen Community.
So
I didn't know you liked comedies.
Are you think I'm dead inside? Is that it? So the story behind The Office is friends of mine, of course, friend of the show, Josh and Jared, had both recommended, like, dude, you need to watch The Office. So I gave it a shot, and I watched the first episode, and I didn't get it. You know, like, I wasn't in on the joke of, you know, like, this is a kind of a documentary type of thing. So I kind of gave, for lack of a better term, I gave up on it. And honestly, like, 2 years went by, and they said, hey, have you watched The Office? I said, no. I said, I couldn't get into it. They said, well, watch the first season. It's only, like, 6 episodes. If you can get through that first season, it does pick up. And I think, and by the end of the first season, after, you know, rewatching that first episode and on, I got into it. And you know, as cheesy as it sounds, I kind of fell in love with it. So.
No, I totally understand. I've seen all 10 seasons of it. You did bring up one kind of odd thing. And I hate when people do this, is when they say, if you just make it through this season, then it gets good. It's like, well, no, then it's not good. Make it good from the beginning.
Well, like, that's what I was told. That's all I can say.
Yeah, and you're not wrong.
Right.
You know, but still,
it started slow, you know, and you have to watch those first 6 episodes to kind of understand who the characters are, because nobody's coming out and saying, you know, this is Jim, and, you know, there's no real backstory given. You kind of have to learn it as you go.
Right.
I guess maybe that's a late interpretation of it, but I could kind of see how that building that foundation of context would be important.
Yeah. Have you ever seen Parks and Rec?
Yeah.
And Recreation?
Yes, I have.
Is that good? Because I couldn't make it through the first season.
I liked it.
Okay. And I've heard it's very popular.
I'll be honest with you. I enjoyed it because of Nick Offerman. You know, that Ron Swanson character. Leslie Knope is played by Amy Poehler is great. And you know, I mean, like I said, it has a younger, chubbier Chris Pratt. You know, so the show is fun, and I like it. Its evolution. You know, there's a character in there who they start calling Jerry, and then they, you know, I think it's Gary at one point. They don't like him, so they keep kind of changing his names. I think maybe it's Larry, and then he says, no, my real name is, you know, Bill or something like that. And they said, oh, whatever, Terry. You know, it's just, you know, things like that. I mean, they just, you know, he's kind of like the Kevin of The Office. You know, so, you know, it's fun. I'll tell you what, we'll have a big sleepover. You'll watch Parks and Rec, and I'll watch It's Always Sunny, and then we'll compare notes.
Okay, perfect.
Minus the sleepover part.
Well, I mean, either way, you know, we can have virtual sleepover. Like, I'll actually, at my house, I'll actually put up like blankets on the floor and stuff, make some popcorn, and then I'll just like, we'll FaceTime each other.
It's funny because we're recording this Saturday night, which is a night later than we usually record. We usually record on Friday nights. And last night, it's like 8, and I said, I know we're supposed to record tonight, but I'm dozing on the couch. Let's push it to tomorrow. And you said, okay, I'm tired too. And then I woke up, and it was 2 o'clock in the morning on the couch.
Yeah.
And then I had to produce another podcast that I work on for coronation.com. And then I finally got to bed at 3. And then I finally fell asleep at 3:45 again. So by that time, my wife was up because she's still in transition mode from trying to get her body and her sleep schedule right from working night shift to she's off last week and this week. And she's switching to a date, you know, normal hours. So it's a mess. It's a mess around here, Mike. I tell you what.
I hear you.
Well, this is going to be fun. Let's take a quick time out. A pause for our sponsors. When we come back, we're going to go over a list, survey results from people's favorite superheroes and more. I actually wrote an article about it over at jitterymonkey.com. I hope you checked it out. We're going to take a time out, a pause for the cause, let some of our advertisers identify themselves. When we come back, we're going to have that for you right after this. Welcome back to Nerds United. Greg Mahochko, the co-host of the year, Mike Luther, is with us live from his own home because we're social distancing. Mike, did you see the link that I did? Did you see the article that I wrote? Let me put it that way.
I perused it.
That's probably more than a lot of people did. So anyway, this was, of course, right as news was dropping and everything was getting canceled. This was Friday the 13th of March 2020. It was a one-poll survey that was commissioned by Visit Anaheim, and it was ahead of this summer's opening of Avengers Campus at Walt Disneyland, which, by the way, closed, as is Disney World and everything else. They took to 2,000 Americans. They asked them a bunch of questions. The top 10 superheroes that these 2,000 people liked. I'm going to go in the Late Show with David Letterman order. So we're going to go 10 to 1.
All right.
Wolverine, Black Panther, Captain Marvel, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Iron Man, Captain America, Batman, Spider-Man, and Superman. Superman, the most popular superhero among these 2,000 people. I find that shocking.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not shocked by that at all. Superman is so well known. Like, I was thinking about it, like, I think my mom would know who Superman is. She might not know his backstory or anything like that, but if I say, "Hey, Mom, have you heard of Superman?" she would probably say yes. Now, if I said, "Mom, do you know who Wolverine is?" she would probably say no.
Okay, so I get that. But, and I because of the way the rest of the list is made up with, and this is not disparaging against any of these characters that I'm about to name, but before 2008, let's say, we got to go back a few years. But before 2008, Captain America, Iron Man, Aquaman, Captain Marvel, Black Panther would not be on that list.
You are absolutely correct.
So I think that this is – I think this list is more based on, you know, characters that have been in headlines and in cinemas and theaters recently. I mean, I think that's the only way Aquaman makes the list. Is because he had a movie that was bright and shiny and looked kind of cool and had Jason Momoa, who's, you know, a badass. Especially, did you see that Super Bowl commercial with him?
I don't remember it.
It was basically like him laughing at himself, and he's like all the muscles are a show, and he's taking them all off muscle suit. Yeah. So that's kind of cool. He's able to laugh at himself. But Aquaman wouldn't be on that list. And so I think that the cinematic success has really helped all of you. Because, look, before Iron Man, before the MCU as we know it, really the only Marvel characters of note were Spider-Man and the X-Men. Maybe the Fantastic Four, but they had a couple movies, but none of them were quote-unquote hits. The Avengers were an afterthought. You know, Black Panther was an afterthought at that time. So, and it's been noted, I don't know exactly how many years ago, but Spider-Man, as far as merchandising, Spider-Man was the number one superhero, you know, merchandise sales globally a few years ago. But I'm still surprised that Superman got that top spot because, I don't know, it seems like Batman is always the, you know, cooler, edgier, more popular, at least in online circles, character.
And of course, it depends on who they surveyed as well, you know.
Which is why I think in my write-up on this, I think that it was they were just asking more casual, you know, observers, not, you know, the hardcore nerds like you or me.
Right. Well, and like if you survey people that are coming out of the theater, I think that's you're going to get more of that answer. If you survey people coming out of a comic book store, probably a completely different list.
Right.
You know? But so you would say, in your opinion, Batman would be number one.
I think Spider-Man would be number one. If I had to guess. I'm also kind of surprised. Let me ask you this. Based on that list and based on where we are as a culture, do you feel like there are any omissions? Like anybody that you feel was left off that maybe should have been cracked in the top 10?
Nothing that comes to mind right now. Maybe some more of the X-Men characters.
See, I would have said Deadpool.
Deadpool, yeah. Professor X.
Yeah.
Magneto, even.
So, speaking of Magneto, there is also a list. They asked the same 2,000 people. The favorite top 10 villains. And that list, 10 to 1, goes Loki, Mystique, Harley Quinn, Penguin, Magneto, Lex Luthor, Thanos, Venom, Catwoman, Joker. Joker's being the number one. Which, there's not any surprise that Joker was number one. I don't know. I'm the only reason I think it's funny to see Harley Quinn or Venom on the list is because they're more of anti-heroes, at least largely. I mean, they're kind of like that Stone Cold Steve Austin character, kind of like a Deadpool. You know, they're a little bit on the badass side, but they're doing it for the right reasons. You know.
Yeah. As soon as I heard Harley Quinn's name, I thought, and I didn't really like this movie too much, but. If it wasn't for Suicide Squad, she's not on that list.
Well, I mean,
people don't know who she is.
I don't know, because that ever since she debuted in Batman the Animated Series, she's had we talk about flattening the curve, but her, you know, curve of popularity has risen steadily over the last 25 years.
But she's gotten more popular, but I think most people would probably know her more recently from Suicide Squad.
Okay.
Than from the animated cartoon.
I was surprised that Loki was so low. And
yeah.
I was kind of surprised that Catwoman was so high.
Yeah, maybe Loki was low because people think of him as a good guy now.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I can't disagree with that. So let me ask you this one, Mike. What superpower would you most want to have?
Gosh, I forgot what it's called now. Teleportation.
That's where I'm at too. That's not even a list. Invisibility, healing, time travel, superhuman strength, and superhuman intelligence were the options given. All of them having between 33% or 37%, which is pretty crazy because the totals lead up to 173. I don't know how you get 173% out of your polling group there. So. I'm with you though. Teleportation. If I can bypass traffic and everything else, just get me there now.
Exactly.
So anyway, I'm glad we had that chat, Mike. There were more questions in the poll that I didn't include in the article, like where would you rather go, Universal or Disneyland or blah blah blah. I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, neither.
Like, what type of attractions do you enjoy at Walt Disneyland? Don't care. Never been.
Yeah.
So, all right, Mike. Anything else? Do we have anything else? What else do you have to discuss, sir?
Nothing. I've been doing nothing but trying to get better and playing video games and eating very unhealthy foods.
That's
And not going to the gym because it's closed.
Yeah. So I thought if you weren't going to the gym, you were going to like not eat unhealthy foods so that you could be ready for when you went back to the gym.
You would think so. That would make sense. But like today I actually ventured out. I probably shouldn't have, but I needed to get that nose spray because I like my sinuses were so bad. That probably sounds horrible right now. But so I went out and got that. And then I was like, I had a sore throat. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to get some like, ice cream or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I got ice cream, and then I was just going through, like, the frozen food. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I haven't had this in a long time. Just grabbing everything. I'm going to come out of this quarantine thing, whatever it is, probably, like, 300 pounds. That's my guess.
Well, I mean, whatever you got to do, buddy. We're here. We're all in this together. I spent today, I read a couple of comics.
Ooh.
A couple of DC comics from some of our favorite superheroes. The first one that I read is The Green Lantern, Intergalactic Lawman. And it's the first six issues of Grant Morrison's recent run on the character. And it's pretty cool. It, you know, it's all about Hal Jordan and how he's... It actually is just very well done. There is a brief cameo in the back. It pretty much is all Green Lantern, but there is one extra character in the back from the DC Universe, Adam Strange, the protector guardian of Ron, Ran, R-A-N-N, however you pronounce it. There's a guy who probably will need his own movie someday, but I don't know when. It's pretty cool. It's kind of... you know, it's called Intergalactic Lawman, but it really is Hal Jordan about as close to, you know, police officer, intergalactic police officer as I've yet to see. So that was kind of cool. You'll have to check that one out. The other one I got was Batman, The Fall and the Fallen. And this collects issues 70 through 74 of Batman, as well as, it's right here, Batman Secret Files number 2. And it says The Fall and the Fallen. It's weird. It has kind of a jumpy timeline. It has Thomas Wayne in it. They try to he wants to resurrect Martha Wayne. There's Bane having taken over, and it's at one point it's kind of a disjointed timeline. You think the Batman's crazy, or at least, you know, Batman's shown or makes it look like Batman's lost his mind and he's had hallucinations and things like that. It's out there, man. It's crazy, man. It's crazy, but again, not bad. So you'll have to check those out, and I encourage everybody to check those out. I was able to score those at Twilight Comics, Swansea, Illinois, and to give them a little bit of business before they shut down. And when they open their doors, if you're in the St. Louis Metro East Belleville area, I encourage you to check out Twilight Comics and all your local shops, because they're going to need your help. So
I second that.
Okay. Well, Mike, I think the time has come. Let's
to sing a song.
Hmm?
To sing a song?
Well, we lost a great singer in the last 24 hours when Kenny Rogers passed.
And, yeah, I was wondering why people were putting so many Kenny Rogers songs on Facebook.
Well, that's because he died, Mike, okay? Have a heart.
I figured it out.
That was some shocking news to wake up to at 2 in the morning. Let me just tell you. Very confused. And in my grogginess, I was like, what? Yeah. Oh, shit. So, should we end the episode with a little Kenny Rogers song?
Sure, why not?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if they made it this long, they deserve some real talent, right?
That damn right.
All right, Mike. Thanks for phoning in. And we appreciate you. We hope that you get better. And we just remind the listeners, he doesn't have that thing that's going around. Mike's got he's battling his own demons right now, but he's gonna pull through. He's gonna kick out, and we'll be having Mike in Studio B again very soon.
Yes.
Okay. So follow us, interact with us on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, and we will see you. Oh. I guess I should ask you this important question that I posed to the listeners, Mike. You got that last roll of toilet paper out there. What kind of pop culture memorabilia are you going to accept in trade for it?
Nick Cage's autograph.
Man, I'm pretty sure you could get that. You don't have to give up the last bit of TP, maybe just a single roll.
Now, and he spends a day with me.
Oh, okay, cool. Is he going to be the one giving or that you're giving the TP to?
Yeah. Oh, he needs it.
Okay. So not only that, but if you're hanging out with him all day long, there's a chance you might get a few of those squares back. That's good thinking, Mike. Good thinking. All right. So again, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all at Nerds United Show. And YouTube, just search Nerds United. We're the only one with a badass-looking monkey. Original art by Joe Dodd. Recent relocator to Southern Illinois. Look forward to getting together with him and his family and hanging out this summer when quarantine and bans and all that other stuff are lifted. So he is Mike Luther. He is the only co-host of the year. My name is Greg Mahoshko. This is Nerds United, and we remind you this week and every week to be kind.
And rewind.
On a warm summer's evening, on a train bound for nowhere, I met up with a gambler. We were both too tired to sleep, so we took turns of staring out the window at the darkness till boredom overtook us. And he began to speak. He said, "Son, I've made a life out of reading people's faces and knowing what the cards were by the way they held their eyes. So if you don't mind my saying, I can see you're out of aces. For a taste of your whiskey, I'll give you some advice." So I handed him my bottle, and he drank down my last swallow. Then he bummed a cigarette and asked me for a light. And the night got deathly quiet, and his face lost all expression. Said, "If you're gonna play the game, boy, you gotta learn to play it right. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done." Every gambler knows that the secret to surviving is knowing what to throw away, knowing what to keep. 'Cause every hand's a winner and every hand's a loser, and the best that you can hope for is to die in your sleep. And when he finished speaking, he turned back toward the window, crushed out a cigarette, faded off to sleep. And somewhere in the darkness, the gambler, he broke even. But in his final words, I found an ace that I could keep. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up,
when to hold up,
know when to fold up,
when to fold up,
know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough for counting when the dealing's done. You got to know when to hold up, know when to fold up, know when to walk away, and know when to run. You never count your money when you're sitting at the table. There'll be time enough to count when the deal is done.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.